Dr. Tarrant? Tarrant. Okay, I did it right the first time. Is currently an associate professor in the Department of Nursing Studies at the University of Hong Kong. Her major research interests are maternal and child health, specifically influenza in pregnancy and infant feeding. Her research has focused on the uptake of pandemic and seasonal influenza vaccines among pregnant women and on factors that increase the exclusivity and duration of breastfeeding in Hong Kong.
Thank you, and thank you to everyone for coming to this almost last presentation of the last day. The topic of my talk is about uptake of H1N1 pandemic vaccine among pregnant women in Hong Kong. And I'd also just like to acknowledge my other two co-authors, Kendra Wu and Carol Yoon. Sorry, is there a laser pointer? No, okay, all right. And I'd just like to state that I have no competing interest to declare. Now, during pregnancy, women are at increased risk for greater morbidity and mortality, and I should just add that from influenza. I wanted to fix that this morning, but I decided I would just let you know. So during pregnancy, pregnant women do suffer greater morbidity and mortality from influenza. Compared with non-pregnant women, their risk of hospital admission is actually 50% higher early in the pregnancy, and it's about fivefold higher risk later during pregnancy. And there are an excess of 2.5 hospitalizations per 1,000 third trimester women, which are attributable to influenza infection. And this is just influenza in general I'm referring to here, even during non-pandemic years. And actually, which many people are not aware of, the risk is actually similar or greater than that for persons 65 to 69 years of age or those who have high-risk chronic conditions. So we hear a lot about influenza vaccine in elderly people, in people with chronic conditions, but we actually hear a lot less about influenza vaccine and influenza in pregnant women. We think of pregnancy as this very healthy condition of where women don't suffer a lot of health problems, but in actual fact, that's not always true. So also during the pandemic, the 2009 H1N1 pandemic, women again suffered higher risk from infection and greater morbidity and mortality. In the United States, about a third of pregnant women with H1N1 required hospitalization, and this was compared to only about 4% in the general population. In France, about half of all pregnant women were admitted to hospital, and about 13% of them were actually admitted to the ICU. And in UK, Australia, New Zealand, 10% of infected pregnant women who were admitted to an ICU died, more than 10% had a pregnancy loss, and about 50% had a preterm delivery. So as you can see, the burden of both seasonal and pandemic influenza is quite high among pregnant women. Most countries now actually recommend influenza vaccine during pregnancy in any trimester, including the first trimester, and this helps to reduce the cardiopulmonary complications of influenza infection during pregnancy. And there are also several studies, not a lot, but there's I think about two or three studies showing that influenza vaccine also has a protective effect on the infant, and they can reduce infection in newborns up to 6 months of age. And the earliest that newborns can be vaccinated with influenza is about 6 months of age. So what a lot of health professionals and I think a lot of women are not aware of is that if they're vaccinated during their pregnancy, particularly in the second and third trimester of pregnancy, this can have a protective effect on their infant up to 6 months of age. Despite all of these benefits, the uptake is actually very low. In most countries, most developed countries, it averages around 20 to 30%. And there had only been one previous study in Hong Kong before we conducted this study showing that the rate was only 3.9%. So the uptake rate was less than 5%. So the aim of our study was to look at factors associated with the pandemic influenza vaccine uptake among pregnant women, and to look at the knowledge and attitudes of pregnant women toward the vaccine during pregnancy. So we used a multi-center cross-sectional design. We recruited women from 4 public hospitals in Hong Kong with obstetric services. We had a survey which consisted of 4 different parts. One was the vaccination status of both the pregnant woman or the recently delivered woman and her family members, and why they had taken the vaccine, or in the case of those who didn't, why they had not taken the vaccine. We also assessed their health status before and during pregnancy, whether they had any comorbid conditions either before the pregnancy or during. We had a 23-item scale measuring their knowledge and attitudes, and of course we collected their demographic information. So as I said, we recruited the mothers. We recruited them postnatally, immediately in the postnatal period, so that we would absolutely be sure of their vaccination status during pregnancy. A lot of previous studies that have been done either assess intention to vaccinate during the pregnancy or assess whether at a certain point in the pregnancy the mother has been vaccinated. But we recruited them in the immediate postnatal period so we could be certain of their vaccination status. And the recruitment was done from 4 public hospitals during the second wave of the H1N1 pandemic from February to June 2010. And this was because the vaccine had just become available that fall, just prior to or during the second wave. And in Hong Kong, the vaccine was not available until around the end of December, just before Christmas, actually, the 23rd of December, the vaccine became available. And we recruited 549 subjects, fairly evenly distributed from the 4 study sites. And our selection criteria, of course, they must have been 18 years of age or older, singleton pregnancies, Cantonese speaking, which is the dialect in Hong Kong. We were interested in Hong Kong Chinese mothers. Currently in Hong Kong, we have a big issue with mainland Chinese mothers coming to deliver their babies because they, similar to the U.S., they get residency status and they get the equivalent of a green card for their babies if they deliver in Hong Kong. And almost half of all of our deliveries are from mainland Chinese mothers. So we were interested in Hong Kong mothers, not mainland Chinese mothers. And so they must have been Hong Kong residents for more than 1 year and have no serious medical or obstetrical complications. So for the data analysis, we just did chi-square statistics for the bivariable analyses, and we did a multivariable logistic regression analysis to assess the independent contribution of all the study variables to the vaccination status. And we used Stata 11.1 for the analyses. Now, if you look at the graph, I have sort of 2 different bits of information presented here. In the text on the left-hand side, I've put how many people received the vaccine in total. So you can see that only 6.2% or 34 of our participants actually received the pandemic vaccine, so very, very low coverage. Almost 5% had received the seasonal vaccine. 8.9% had received at least one or the other of the vaccines, and 91% hadn't received any. So if you look at the graph, you can see that 4% had only received the H1N1, 2.7% had only received the seasonal, and then there was about 2.2% who had received both of the vaccines. So some mothers had received both. Now, looking demographically, there were no major demographic relationships between the vaccination status, although I must just add up front, and also I'll discuss it after, of course our power was a bit limited by the fact that only 34 of our participants had actually received the vaccine. And interestingly, there was no association between being recommended by a healthcare provider to receive the vaccine and vaccine uptake, which has been shown in other studies to increase vaccine uptake. But receiving prior receipt of the seasonal influenza vaccine was associated with higher uptake among the women. So if they had had a vaccine before, they were much more likely to get the vaccine. And of course, that's been shown in a lot of other influenza studies as well, that familiarity is a positive thing, so if women had received it previously. Also, a family member receiving the H1 vaccine, H1N1 vaccine, was strongly associated with uptake. Maybe because if one person had gotten the vaccine, they maybe were advised for the whole family to get the vaccine. Respiratory infection in pregnancy, slightly increased but not statistically significant. So if they'd had an infection, they were more likely to get vaccinated, but again, it wasn't statistically significant. And interestingly, pre-existing chronic disease was not at all associated with vaccine uptake, whereas in many other studies that's been shown if women have asthma or heart disease or some other chronic condition, they're more likely to be vaccinated. Now, we asked them why they didn't want to receive the vaccine, and you can see, I think, very intuitively and obviously, side effects for the baby and side effects for themselves were the most two common reasons why women did not want to be vaccinated. Some of them also, were scared of needles or didn't want to get the needle, or the doctor or nurse didn't recommend it. They didn't think it was necessary. They weren't concerned about catching influenza, so they didn't feel a need for the vaccine. They didn't think influenza was serious or that the vaccine was beneficial. Now, in looking at knowledge and attitude statements, you can see the red is the vaccinated and the blue is the not vaccinated. So for all of these sort of more positive statements, you can see that vaccinated women were much more likely to agree or to be aware of these facts, that H1N1 can cause more illness, pregnant women are at higher risk of complications, the vaccine is effective, the vaccine can protect the baby during the first 6 months, the vaccine is safe, and that the vaccine is recommended for pregnant women in Hong Kong. So, About 60-70% of women even knew the vaccine was recommended. And these were all statistically significant. Now, we had some negative or sort of misconceptions about the vaccine, and you can see that you see the opposite effect here, that vaccinated mothers were much less likely to agree to these statements. Such as all vaccines should be avoided during pregnancy, the risk of the vaccine is greater than the risk of influenza, that it may cause birth defects or preterm contractions, or that it could induce spontaneous abortion. So women who were not vaccinated were much more likely to believe these statements. And we looked at overall knowledge scores. We sort of computed a total score and then looked at low, medium, and high knowledge levels. And you can see that vaccinated women are much more likely to have higher knowledge, or those with higher knowledge are much more likely to have received the vaccine. And similarly for attitudes, we just did either negative attitudes or positive attitudes, and those with positive attitudes were much more likely to receive the vaccine. And again, all of these are statistically significant. Now, we put all of these into a logistic regression model, and we looked at factors that would be more predictive of vaccination uptake. And generally, we found that having a family member who had received the vaccine was predictive of uptake. A family member who also had H1N1 infection, again, maybe because if one person had the infection and there was a pregnant woman in the household, the physicians or the healthcare providers may have advised them all in the family to receive the vaccine. Having high knowledge scores and more positive attitudes were very strongly associated with vaccine uptake. So overall, we had a very low vaccination rate, lower than most other countries, in fact. It's consistent with previous studies in Hong Kong. We just completed another study. The previous study in 2005 for seasonal influenza was 3.9%, and actually a recent one this year for seasonal influenza in this past year showed actually 1.7%, so even lower than the H1N1. In many countries, H1N1 vaccine uptake was generally low. The lowest I could find other than our study was in Australia, was just under 7%. But the US and Canada had very good uptake rates, and actually Canada had very high uptake rates among pregnant women. And France, it was around 1 in 4. Now, some of the reasons for this low uptake. We did collect our data during the second wave of the pandemic, when I think it was generally more well known that this wasn't a serious sort of pandemic. It wasn't the big one that we were all waiting for. So maybe there was a little bit of complacency among pregnant women about taking the vaccine and the seriousness of the H1N1 infection. Also, less than 30% of participants were actually advised to get the vaccine by their healthcare provider. And actually, in fact, I was pregnant during the during that influenza season and had my vaccine. But not once during my pregnancy did anyone actually advise me to get vaccinated or even ask me if I had received the vaccine. There was a poster in the antenatal clinic, but no one even recommended. And a lot of studies have shown that healthcare providers are actually very reluctant to recommend that pregnant women get vaccinated because of possible associations with negative pregnancy outcomes. And a lot of providers themselves don't believe that the vaccine is effective or that it's completely safe during pregnancy. At the time, there was also, after the first wave of vaccination in Hong Kong, there actually was a lot of media cases prominently reporting negative pregnancy outcomes among vaccinated women, which may or may not have an effect on vaccine uptake. You know, you can see the headlines there, the women lose their baby after the shots and a stillbirth after having vaccination, and then of course women stop having the shots because of some of these headlines. I'm not sure how much this affected it. Sometimes we do tend to overestimate the media's impact. We as professionals consume the media a lot, but a lot of times the public doesn't consume as much media as what we think they do. Not many people mention the media, but they did mention side effects for themselves and the baby. And of course, despite reassurances from public health professionals that these were not related, it didn't really reassure a lot of people, I think, and the media continued on this theme of then, I think, almost going out and recruiting women who'd had adverse pregnancy outcomes. Some of these outcomes were 2 to 3 months after receiving the vaccine, but of course they were still very prominently reported. There was a lack of awareness for the recommendations among the vaccinated mothers, and of course a high level of concern about the safety of the vaccine for the mother and the baby. And there was better knowledge and more positive attitudes among vaccinated mothers. And there was also greater exposure to the vaccine and also to the actual influenza infection among vaccinated mothers, so which may have made them more familiar with getting the vaccine. So just a few strengths and limitations. This was one of the first studies in Asia to look at the pandemic vaccine uptake among pregnant women. And we did measure actual uptake and not just intention to be vaccinated. But it wasn't a population-based sample. And the low number of participants who had actually received the vaccine limited the statistical power of the study. We had assumed it would be around 20%, but which was similar to other countries, but it was actually, in fact, much lower. And this was funded by a grant from the University of Hong Kong and ethical approval from our Institutional Review Board. Thank you.